Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers from the Capitol. On the program today, Mike Uboldi. He's the president of St. Mary's Regional Health Center. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Larry Mathias, Joe Guild, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and reviewjournal.com.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Rowena Singer only skis the big ones, extremely unsafe. But she'll take no chance deciding her family's car insurance. She researches, shops, and then checks with us. She gets peace of mind by protecting her assets. Mark Jerry climbs rock for fun. It's treacherous. But he'll take no chance deciding his company's business insurance plan. He researches, shops, and then checks with us. He gets peace of mind by protecting his assets. Check with us before you write a check.
Need a DVD made quick? At DVD Express, you get your DVD copies fast. They offer the fastest turnaround time, so your DVD project is back to you in no time. DVD Express can convert your old media to DVD. They convert VHS, Betamax, 8mm video, and 8 or 16mm film, all to DVD. You can even save your family photo albums to DVD. Back up your business presentations and project video archives. Call DVD Express at 775-324-1922.
Local entertainment, Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is brought to you by the University of Phoenix. University of Phoenix. Learn more at phoenix.edu. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, welcome to the program, Mike Uboldi. He's the CEO and president of St. Mary's Regional Medical Center in Reno. Welcome to the program, sir. Pleasure
Thank
to have you,
you
here. Wanted to start out with probably the hottest topic at the legislature, which is the return of medical malpractice, keeping our docs in Nevada, already gearing up for a big fight. What's your position on this?
Our position is that we're not supportive of modifying and changing the caps. That was an issue that was driving physicians out some number of years ago. The legislation that's in place right now stabilized the environment, and if we open that up, I think we can see some real significant problems with retaining physicians in Nevada. We have a significant shortage of physicians as it is. This would not help us.
With the Democrats in control of both houses and only two votes short in the Senate of having a veto-proof majority, what do you think your chances are of getting through this session without there being changes?
I expect that there will be some changes. I'm hopeful that they will be mindful that whatever they change it to, the bottom line is that they shouldn't do anything that's going to decrease the number of physicians in this state for the population. And if they're not careful, that's what will happen.
One of the greatest needs from recent reports here is in primary care doctors.
Absolutely. We have a significant shortage of primary care doctors, especially here in northern Nevada.
Okay. The other thing that's driving this is change in laws based on what happened with the Endoscopy Center of Southern Nevada. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that particular topic? And what changes do you think should come about?
You know, without a doubt, that was a very unfortunate event that took place. And I think that the increased oversight for ambulatory settings that has taken place since goes a long ways towards assuring the public that that won't happen again. I think the real issue was that we have a lot of healthcare has moved out of the hospital to a large extent. Our length of stays are, you know, on the 4 and 5 days. A lot of care is provided outside the four walls of the hospital, as it should be. And the monitoring and the assurance that everything that's done in that environment hasn't been the same as the focus in the hospital. With this event, unfortunate event, much more attention is going to be spent looking at outpatient ambulatory types of care and making sure that that's comparable to what you get inside of a hospital.
Do you think with the state's budget situation that they're going to be able to put up enough money? Is it going to have to come in part from the private sector or even the insurance companies?
You know, where do the funds come from is the key to almost everything that we're looking at. And I know that the legislature is looking at a number of different options on how to fund just about everything that they want to do. I personally believe that in this state, we're probably going to have to look at some kind of a tax increase of some kind. What it's going to look like, who knows. But there's definitely a shortfall between the amount of revenue that's coming in versus that which needs to be spent for all these great things that people want to do.
And there's even raising up as much money as was raised up in 2003, you're still only looking at somewhere in $750 million. If Speaker Buckley allowed the largest tax increase in the state's history to go through, so there's still going to be a huge gap no matter what.
Absolutely. And I think it's a combination of looking at revenue sources as well as looking at best practices and how we can assure that the environments that we produce in the ambulatory areas is comparable to the inside of the hospital.
With our litigious society, how much do you think percentage-wise it costs us additionally to be able to cover every base before a doctor is able to move forward?
You know, I don't know if anybody has truly quantified out of a dollar how much goes there. I do know that having been back in Washington last year, it was speculation that the providers only saw about 60 cents of every dollar, and the remainder of that was going towards administrative overhead costs, legal, etc. So I haven't seen a study that actually broke that out. But that's a significant amount, 40 cents on every dollar. That's not going... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when I'm paying $1,700 a month for two people for insurance, a 40% reduction would be very nice.
Yeah.
What other bills are you watching at the legislature?
You know, we're watching the staffing ratios that have been discussed. You've pointed out the malpractice. The Hospital Association is, monitoring anything and everything that would have an impact on us. I'm looking at the way DISH money, which is that money that is allocated for the uncompensated care from the state, and how it's allocated and distributed. So there are a number of things that are under review. To date, I haven't seen any decisions that have made major changes, and we're just watching and monitoring that.
Just to bring it up as a topic, the United Healthcare Sierra Healthcare merger, were you in favor of it, and how do you think it's working so far?
Our official position was to stay neutral on it. There was nothing in it for us to gain to take it one way or the other. And I can't tell you that since the merger there has been any adverse impact on the hospital industry as a result of that. There were a lot of concerns raised about the possibility of a monopoly being formed. I haven't seen that.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Mike Uboldi when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
I think if we add this mixture, we'll be all set.
Are you sure?
I don't think that's right, Paul. When is this project due?
It's due tomorrow. We shouldn't have waited.
Oh, no.
Maybe we should call the experts.
I hear you need an expert. We'll start from the very beginning.
There's no time to waste.
The Intel International Science and Engineering Fair is coming to Reno this May. 1,600 of the world's most gifted young scientists will compete. Learn how you can judge, volunteer, or donate at icefnevada.com.
Welcome to the most progressive industrial park in America,
I'm Lance Gelman, and this is the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Our feature subject is the 15-mile extension of the USA Parkway, connecting north to south and I-80 to Highway 50. When complete, this highway will open up rural Nevada to this major employment center. The shorter commute will save Nevada over 500,000 gallons of fuel and eliminate 22 million pounds of CO2 emissions in the first year alone. This is the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
This segment is brought to you by the University of Phoenix. University of Phoenix. Learn more at phoenix.edu. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Uboldi. He's the CEO and president of St. Mary's Regional Medical Center in Reno. President Obama's universal health care plan. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on this and how it would work?
You know, not much has come out in the way of detail yet. Everybody is waiting. But clearly, there has to be some changes made. Catholic Healthcare West, our parent organization, is very much in favor of increasing access to all. We have, over 440 million people in the United States without access to insurance coverage. State of Nevada.
So the 10%.
Yes. And the state of Nevada is somewhere is about 500,000 and growing. That's a real problem, and we're seeing it with a number of people, unemployment ranks raising. Our emergency departments are seeing more and more uncompensated, uninsured individuals.
With Senator Reid's potential filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, it would seem that the Senate may allow this to proceed at full speed. Because if it's going to get done, it's got to get done this year, right?
That's what we're hearing. And everyone is expecting that there is going to be some major change, but to date we don't have a good idea what that change will look like. For a lot of speculation to date, they just identified who the new Secretary for Health and Human Services is going to be.
I think Kathleen Sebelius.
Yes, that went through yesterday. So maybe we'll start seeing some more concrete ideas come forth.
It's amazing what a swine flu will do to get somebody confirmed, huh? You know, this is also a major thing for Senator Kennedy, who at this point is revered by both sides of the aisle in the Senate, and this has been a big deal for him, along, of course, with Hillary Clinton. So it just seems like everything is aligning, you know, to go down that road.
Well, and I think that the economy is going to drive it as much as anything else. The downturn in our economy and how much money we're spending on health care, about 17% of the GNP, I think people have a growing awareness that something has to change in order for us to be competitive on an international basis. We're spending a lot of money, and I'm not sure everybody believes we're getting what we're paying for.
Are you talking about medical tourism, where people go to India, they go to Thailand?
Well, I'm certainly aware that that's becoming a growing trend. But we spend a lot of money on health care. And again, getting back to if 40 cents on every dollar is not going to the providers, where is it going and how is it benefiting us?
Too long for the an answer for this program, unfortunately. The cost of drugs for people without insurance is unbelievable. Now, I happen, and that's not just because you're here, but I have St. Mary's Health Plan. And the cost savings is remarkable. It actually is good enough to allow me to no longer import my drugs from Mexico. Okay? But for people who don't have that ability to go to Canada or Mexico or to be able to buy their drugs over the internet, the cost differential is stunning.
Well, I think that most Americans have heard that most of the R&D research for pharmaceuticals is paid for by the United States. That gets again into the way we're reimbursed, and it's a much bigger issue than any hospital or any state. It's an endemic issue that has to be dealt with on a national basis. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but you're right, it's very expensive. I have a daughter that's 24 and not fully employed right now, and helping her out with her medical bills, etc., it gives you an insight that you might not have otherwise.
Do you get irritated when you watch the nightly news, the national nightly news, and you can't move in a commercial break between all of these pharmaceutical companies hawking their products and telling the public to go ask their doctor if this one's right for you.
You know, I don't get annoyed by that. I think that's the way marketing for pharmaceuticals has evolved. It puts a lot of pressure on physicians. And then them having to discreetly find out, you know, determine is that the best drug, and how much pressure they feel to prescribe that. It really hasn't had much of an impact within the hospital.
This is just my theory. Emergency rooms, as you said earlier, are the most expensive route for people to go. People who don't have insurance, people who may not have status. Poor people go to the emergency room instead of getting regular primary care. Would it not make sense to put in a regular clinic next to the emergency room that's staffed on a 24-hour basis to be able to lower the cost dramatically of providing services to people who are truly not having emergencies?
And a number of the hospitals in this country have tried that. Actually, when I was in Sacramento, we did that. It's helpful. The difficulty has to do with the federal guidelines for how triage is done, who has to see a patient, and setting up a fast-track clinical area within an ED. The best thing would be to just have people that come to...
What's an ED?
The emergency department.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
That's right.
Would be to have people that come to an emergency department who truly need emergency department type services versus those that need ambulatory care services. Everyone's looking at how to better do that. But with the uninsured and the number of people without access to primary care, it's not really becoming such an economic class issue anymore. With the shortage of primary care doctors, a lot of people come to the emergency department with insurance just because they don't have the ability on a Saturday or in the middle of the night or the evening to get access to their primary care physician.
So is this something that you're still looking at to try and see if it's cost-effective?
We just opened a brand new emergency department, or remodeled it, the Pennington ED, and we increased the size by about 20-some-odd beds. It's now 46 beds, and we are looking at ways of streamlining throughput so that those patients are differentiated from those that really have the acuity that need to be in an emergency department that may end up being admitted to the hospital.
And what kind of cost savings would you see from something like that?
You know, the cost savings, because they've come through the emergency department, the fact that we have to operate it as an emergency department ready for the most acute, it isn't much of a cost savings for us. Routing them and moving them through faster is really where the advantage is for the hospital and the patient. When a patient comes in an emergency department, and albeit they think they're in acute illness, if you come in with the flu and you're in competition with the patient that came in with a heart attack, the heart attack is going to take preference because we know that the person with flu is not going to die in the next 15 minutes to a half hour. So we triage people. People who really don't need to be there and have lower acuity illnesses wait a significant amount of time. You hear that all the time about people who have the 4 and 5 hour waits in an emergency department. It's because an emergency department is not the best place for that kind of care.
That's where we got to leave it. Pleasure to have you on the program, Sip. Please come back soon.
All right, thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
Danny, what are you doing?
Feeding Cash. Why?
Oh,
the Reno Rodeo must be in town. Oh, we should go.
Yes, you should.
Saddle up and get your tickets today at RenoRodeo.com or call 1-800-225-2277. The Reno Rodeo, the West is coming to town.
So, Danny, how'd you get cash past security?
In Nevada, 6 out of 10 people who apply for Social Security disability benefits are denied. If you cannot work because of a permanent disability or illness and have been denied, call us. Because we're here in Nevada, we'll meet with you personally and find a doctor for your claim. At Shook and Stone, we'll guide you through the Social Security process and get you the money you deserve. Shook and Stone, make the law work for you. Call us.
The wrong time to think about car insurance is when you need it most. Meet Jill. Jill has AAA auto insurance. Jill knows that her AAA insurance is just as dependable as the emergency roadside service she gets from AAA. So, if you've been wondering about your insurance, call us for a quote today and find out how additional coverage options make auto insurance from AAA more affordable than ever. And with over 90 years of insurance experience, AAA has seen it all. So if Jill ever does have a claim, she knows her AAA insurance team is dedicated to getting her vehicle repaired and back on the road, just like it never happened. Call right now or visit your local AAA office for a no-obligation auto insurance quote, and you'll get this complimentary accident claim kit just for getting a quote. This kit includes a disposable camera, information checklist, a flashlight, and more. Because AAA wants you to be prepared for whatever the road brings you. Call AAA Insurance now. Get more. Get AAA.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers from the Capitol, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Joe Gildas here, the attorney, Larry Mathias, Executive Director of the Nevada State Medical Association, and Trey Abney, Director of Government Relations for the Reno-Sparks Chamber of Commerce.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have all of you guys on here. Your concerns about where things are going with mining, Joe?
Well, the reports keep surfacing that they want $30 million from the mining industry. As you know, I represent Newmont. What they fail to understand, what people fail to understand about the mining industry is that they pay the highest wage, so the business tax and combined with sales tax and all the other contributions that mining makes add about $200 million in tax revenues to the state. So if you added $30 million to that, combined with whatever tax increases come on top of a sales tax increase or a modified business tax increase, mining is singled out as a single industry taxpayer, and the whole idea, I thought, coming into this session was we'd have a broad-based tax increase. Everybody sort of knows that. That's the elephant in the room. But mining seems to be being singled out as one industry that's going to pay more, and it's unfair.
Is there an acceptable broad-based business tax to you?
Well, first of all, just to be clear, we already have a broad-based business tax in this state. There are some people in the legislative building that keep claiming that we don't. It's called the modified business tax that Joe brought up. We call it the jobs tax. It is a tax on your payroll. So we can argue whether it's too high or too low, but to say that there is not a broad-based business tax is untrue. And to piggyback off of what Joe said, mining pays everything that every other business pays, plus they're the only company or individual that is at the constitutional cap for the net proceeds of minerals. So mining plays plenty into this state, especially in our rural communities.
Well, and that's a property tax.
Right.
And mining pays 100% of a property tax, and the rest of us, all of us that own a home or a piece of real property, pay 35% of the assessed value of the property. So if you want to look at it another way, that's another tax that mining pays that other industries and businesses don't. And in 2008, mining agreed, when we had a special session in December, to prepay the net profits of mining tax. So mining has stepped up where it should to help the state, but it refuses, and I agree with that, obviously as one of its advocates, to agree that we should pay extra.
Larry?
Well, I think whoever is doing well right now is going to be looked at more with closer scrutiny as a possible source of getting us out of at least part of the hole we're in. So I think we have to be realistic, as the legislature is also going to get more and more realistic. The disconnect between whatever they're going to settle on as their budget target and whatever they're going to settle on as the amount of revenue they're going to need between what we've actually got and what they're going to be spending is going to be pretty large. And maybe they've got a deal. I don't think so. And as the time begins to really wind down on this session, there's going to be a lot of pressure. And so anybody that right now is sort of doing counter-cyclical, is doing better than everybody else in the economy, are going to be targets.
But if the implication is that mining's doing better, Larry, that's a wrong implication. Sure, the price of gold is hovering around $900 an ounce, but every cost that mining has, like every other industry, has increased, whether it's fuel, electricity, parts and services. Everything has increased, and so mining is not doing well, even though the perception is that it is. And furthermore, why try to tie a stable tax system to an industry it's a commodity-driven industry? The price is set in London and New York on a daily basis. There's no stability in the mining industry. The price of gold in 2 months could be $630 an ounce.
Okay, let's change topics here. Brian Kralicki, the lieutenant governor, came up with this plan a while back. Now the governor is on the same tag, which is the tobacco settlement funds. The plan to raise about $340 million now as against perhaps larger benefits down the road. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't know enough about it. I think we should look at any and every option at this point. It does make me a little nervous to forego all that future revenue in order to meet a very short-term, hopefully, shortfall. I know that Carol Velardo with the Taxpayer Association came out pretty adamantly against it, so it makes me a little leery, we'll put it that way.
It was a bad idea 6 years ago, it was a worse idea 4 years ago, it was a stupid idea 2 years ago. It really shouldn't be on the table at this point.
There you go.
how could I top that?
You could try.
Pick another topic.
Okay, that's where we got to leave it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
By now, you've heard that Antenna TV is going all digital, and the nationwide switch to digital TV has moved to a new date, June 12th. But you don't have to wait until June 12th to enjoy free digital TV. Upgrade your Antenna TV with a converter box or buy a new digital set. Use the right antenna and start enjoying free digital television now. Visit DTVAnswers.com or call 888-CALL-FCC to learn more about the June 12th switch to digital TV.
Are you uninsured? Access to Healthcare Network, a new nonprofit community partnership, can help. For only $40 a month, you can have access to some of Northern Nevada's best medical care, including Renown Health, St. Mary's Regional Medical Center, more than 300 local physicians, and dental and vision care.
As a physician, I support access to healthcare as it provides high-quality healthcare to hardworking Northern Nevadans with dignity and respect.
Members must meet income guidelines. Call 770-6035.
Workers' compensation laws can be confusing. How do you know whether the insurance company is following the rules? I'm Herb Santos, Jr. If you have questions regarding your rights, call me for a free personal consultation. At my office, I help injured people. I work for you.
What if we allowed broken televisions, mattresses, and other garbage to be carelessly littered on our public lands? Do you want to live, work, and play in a community that looks like a trash heap? Do something about it. Report illegal dump sites by calling 329-DUMP. Illegal Dumping Task Force reminds you, public lands belong to all of us. Do your part in keeping our community safe, healthy, and beautiful. Report illegal dumping sites by calling 329-DUMP, 329-DUMP.
Maaco paints more than half a million cars every year, and you probably can't spot the ones we've painted, but you can always spot the ones we haven't.
What?
Maaco, America's body shop. Our ambassador paint service is just $2.49. Go to Maaco.com.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On our next broadcast, the Assembly Majority Leader, John Asagura, right here. We'll see you on the next broadcast.